some things from God's Word this morning. Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 20. I want to give you seven life-changing or seven soul-changing statements. Seven soul-changing statements from Matthew chapter number 28. Follow along in your Bibles if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to show you where to mark and underline. But there's seven soul-changing statements here in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5. We'll start. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 5. And it's talking, of course, about the resurrection Sunday, the morning of that Sunday morning when the ladies were coming to prepare the body of Jesus. As they were coming to the grave, they didn't expect to see him alive. They were coming to anoint and to prepare a dead body. Even though Jesus had said several times and for 3 years, he had been prophesying, saying, listen, I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to die, but I'm going to live. And he had been saying it over and over and over again, yet these women still didn't get the concept. Now, before we shake our heads at them, before we shake our fingers and say, oh, you unfaithful women, you know what? Sometimes we don't believe what God has been telling us over and over and over again. So I don't condemn these ladies. I think they were hoping that he had come back to life, but just in case, they were hedging their bets. This morning, you don't have to hedge your bet. You don't have to say, well, I know that Jesus died for me, and I know that he was buried, and I know that he rose again, but just in case, I'm going to do this. Or just in case, I'm going to do that, so that way I've got all my bases covered. May I tell you, there's only one base to cover, and that's receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way. That's not narrow-minded. That's not intolerant. That is the truth. Jesus Christ is the only way. And so as those ladies came to the tomb that morning, I think their hearts were hopeful, but they still had some doubt. So here we are in Matthew 28, verse number 5. They come to the tomb and they see that it had been rolled away. The stone was gone. Verse number 5, it says, and the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. That's the first statement I want to share with you this morning. You don't have to fear. There is no fear in perfect love. The angel says, don't be afraid, because I know why you're here. Some of you brought fear in with you this morning. Some of you have fear about the future, perhaps. Maybe you're facing a sickness. Maybe you're facing a separation. Maybe you're facing something that you don't know what to do with. May I tell you, there is no fear in Jesus Christ. He says, fear not ye, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. On that Friday, that Good Friday, as they watched Jesus being crucified, it struck fear into the disciples. Their biggest fear was, are we next? They were hunted men and women. There were people who wanted to kill them right along with Jesus, and they were scared. And as the women came to that tomb that morning, they were afraid of what they were going to find. They were afraid that Jesus wasn't going to come back. Are you afraid this morning? Are you uncertain about what the future holds? May I tell you, because Jesus Christ is alive, there is no reason to fear. Fear not. Even though Jesus was crucified, and even though that Jesus was buried, he arose. And he's alive. You don't have to be scared. You know that old saying that they've been saying lately, last few years? I ain't scared. I ain't scared because my Savior lives. Look at the second statement, the soul-changing statement, found in verse number 6. He not here, for he is risen. They came to find a dead body. That stone was rolled in front of that grave. It was sealed with the Roman seal. It has guards placed in front of it. It was guarding a normal human being in their opinion. But Jesus wasn't normal. He was man, but he was God. And when they went to look inside that tomb, and by the way, as the stone was rolled away, it wasn't rolled away so that Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so that people could see he wasn't there. A lot of stories flew around after the resurrection of Jesus. The soldiers, after he was resurrected and after they recovered their senses, they were running back to the high priest and said, "Listen, he's gone, he's gone." And the high priest said, "Listen, I'm going to pay you guys some money. I'm going to pay you a lot of money. And this is a story I want you to tell, that his body was stolen." And even today, that is still believed. That his body was simply stolen. The angel said, "He's not here, for he has come back to life." You know what? Jesus is not in the grave anymore. And by the way, he's not on the cross either. My Jesus is alive. And he's at the right-hand throne of God at this very moment. And he's interceding for us. He's presenting his blood to God and says, "God, these are my children." And you know what God sees when he sees you and he sees me? He doesn't see our sins. All he sees is the blood. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that God doesn't see our sins, but all he sees is the blood? See, if we had a dead Savior, he couldn't present his blood because there's no blood left. But because he is not in that grave and because he's risen, he's presenting his blood. Let me ask you a question. Are you washed in that blood? Have you asked Jesus Christ to save you? Have you asked God to forgive you? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Have you been born again? If you have, you're covered in the blood. And Easter means something. You may say this morning, "Brother Brian, I don't know that for a fact. I wonder about that at times. I'm 100% sure maybe this morning that I don't know that." Today you can know that. Today you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can place your faith in his death, in his burial, in his resurrection. Because that's the only hope you have. See, because if Jesus is not your Savior, you serve a dead God. That's you. You're trusting yourself for salvation. I serve a living God, Jesus Christ. He is risen. Look at the third statement with me real quick. As he said. As he said. My Savior's not a liar. My Savior's the truth teller. He had told them years and years, for 3 years he'd been telling them, "I'm going to die. I'm going to die, I'm going to die, but I'm coming back to life." Matter of fact, the book of Genesis talks about the Savior. Talks about Satan's head getting crushed. Talks about Jesus Christ saving us. In the book of Isaiah we see it. In the book of Psalms we see it. In the book of Jeremiah we see it. Over and over and over again, God's been telling us, he's going to come. He's going to save you. Brothers and sisters, is your God a liar this morning? How many of you have a God who tells the truth? As he said. I can't trust anybody because everybody lies. No, Brother Brian. You're calling me a liar? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever told a little white lie before? Okay. How many of you have ever stolen even a paperclip? Good, I'm surrounded by a bunch of liars and thieves this morning. I'm chief amongst them. When my God says that Jesus will die for your sins, take your place on the cross, he's telling the truth. And not only that, he was buried and he arose. Let me show you the fourth statement. Come see the place where the Lord lay. See, he wasn't ashamed of it. The angel wasn't trying to hide nothing. It was out there. I'm not ashamed of my Savior. I don't know everything. And I don't have all the answers. But I am not ashamed to show you that my Savior lives. And I want everybody at all times to see and to know that Jesus is my Savior. I'm not ashamed. And that angel, he wasn't ashamed. He opened up that grave. He said, listen, come on in and see. He is alive. Let me show you the fifth thing. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. You know what we need to be doing? We need to go quickly and we need to tell people that Jesus is alive. Oh, we can talk about sports and we can talk about national championships and we can talk about the weather and we can talk about the Fry Street situation. We can talk about the road to nowhere. We can talk about gardening, fishing. We can talk about all kinds of things. But are you willing to talk about Jesus? Are you willing to tell somebody that he died for your sins? Are you willing to tell somebody that he died and he was buried and he rose again? Are you willing? The angel said, go. Tell them that he's alive. I got great news this morning. Even though you're dead in your trespasses and sin, Jesus lives so that you don't have to stay dead. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. About to jump out of the balcony. Praise the Lord. Number six. He goeth forth before you in the Galilee, and there you shall see him. Not only was the grave empty, and not only had Jesus risen, but he was coming back, and they could find him right where he said. May I tell you this morning that my Jesus, he arose. But my Jesus is coming back. My Jesus is going to bring the church, the rapture. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 talks about the catching of the church up into the clouds where we're going to be reunited with Jesus and our loved ones who have died before us. My Savior is coming back just as he said. Are you ready? My Savior lives, and he's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One final thing I want to share with you this morning. Our children have a presentation for you. You're going to get a blessing. Oh, you're going to get a blessing. As we close out this morning, we have an invitation after this. But I want you to listen to the message of the song as our children participate in the worship service this morning. Come on, guys. Come on down.
As they guarded the grave, one day, 2 days, 3 days had passed. Could it be that Jesus breathed his last? Could it be that his father had forsaken him, turned his back on his son, despising our sin? All hell seemed to whisper, just forget it, he's dead. Then the father looked down to his son and said, from heaven the stone was rolled away, and this dead man, the guards, they all stood there in fright as the power of love displayed its might.
Then suddenly a melody filled the air, riding of wind, it was everywhere.
The words of creation had been longing to hear
the sweet sound of victory, so loud and clear. Arise, my love, arise.
I see some glory tears out there. We serve a risen Savior. Do you know him this morning? Do you know him? Maybe this morning you can say, Brother Brian, I don't know him. But I sure would like to. The whole reason we've gathered today is to worship Jesus Christ. And we want you to know him as your Savior. So during the invitation time, if you don't know that your soul is bound for heaven, today's the day. I invite you to come in just a second. We'll take the Bible and we'll show you how you can know that Jesus Christ is your Savior. How you can know without a shadow of a doubt. I'm not asking you to join the church. I'm not asking you to pay money. I'm asking you, is Jesus Christ your Savior? Maybe this morning you just want to come forward and just tell God, thank you that Jesus is alive. And praise him and say, thank you, Jesus. Because you live, I also live. Whatever the need is this morning, the altar is open. Don't let pride keep you in your pew. Let Jesus Christ be shown through you this morning. Let's stand together. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to pray, and then I'm opening the altar up. You need Jesus as your Savior? Come. I know there's somebody here that needs to be saved. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about a relationship with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know the needs. You know the brokenness. You know the fear in this very room. But Jesus has conquered all of that. And we serve a risen Savior. May today be the day of salvation for somebody. May somebody get their life right with you. May somebody just live in praise to Jesus Christ. Whatever the need is, God, you know what it is. Please now, Father, you work. In Jesus' name I ask this. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Won't you come this morning? Won't you come right now? Just come. Just come. Maybe you just want to come and praise the Lord. Won't you come this morning? Amen. Anybody? Anybody else? Just come on. Let us show you how to be saved today. There is no fear. There's only peace. Only peace through a risen Savior. Anybody want to come this morning? Amen. Amen. We got plenty of time. Won't you come? Come this morning. There's no fear. God loves you. How many can lift your hand this morning with your heads bowed and eyes closed saying, Brother Brian, I know Jesus is my Savior. I'm not a perfect person, but I know he is my Savior. Would you just raise your hand this morning? Amen. How many can say, Brother Brian, I want to live so that others may see. Would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? I want to live so those may see Jesus in me. Would you pray for me? We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us to live for the risen Savior today. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we serve a risen Savior. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts this morning. Our hearts are full. The music was wonderful. The choir blessed our hearts. The children, oh Lord, what an inspiration to see such young lives being used for Christ. Lord, your word talks and teaches and is the truth that we serve a risen Savior. Now may today we go and live because he lives. Lord, help us to live a life that brings you honor and glory. Oh God, thank you for saving our souls through your Son Jesus. And Lord, I know that there are souls in this very room that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Please don't let them leave this building until they've trusted him for his honor and glory. For it's in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen. Please be seated.